Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. The Leipzig City Quarter Expedition is an intriguing walking art project which debunks prejudices about urban neighbourhoods. We've all heard of a notorious neighbourhood in one or other city, and Leipzig's Eisenbahnstrasse had notched up infamy as the worst street in Germany. Diana Vesser and collaborator Anja Rademacher, both living in Leipzig, devised a project in which residents of such neighbourhoods had a chance to tell their stories about living in these places, revealing just how different actuality is from perception. Baking and exchanging cakes are key to residents collecting and sharing stories about where they live. So entranced were some that they openly invited visitors into their homes, workplaces and lives. The interview is recorded at the Walk 21 conference in Vienna in October 2015, at which Diana collected a Visionary Award. You're a winner of a Walk 21 Visionary Award. Tell us about what the project is and how it came about.
The project is called Leipziger Stadtteil Expedition, so in English it's Leipzig City Quarters or City Quarter Expeditions. I hope it's the correct translation, but someone said yes, yes.
Okay, yes, yes.
Yes. You know, behind the background that in every city you have these quarters with certain clichés or preconceptions, and of course, the same is in Leipzig, and we wondered...
We sort of talked about that yesterday when yes. I said that I was staying in a hotel in Vienna and someone had described it as the notorious 10th district. Well,
exactly.
In Leipzig, you have notorious districts too.
Yes.
So you're basically working in districts which have some kind of perceived reputation.
I mean, actually, every district has a reputation, and if it's only that you don't have an idea of it... You know what I mean? So we made like a psychogeographic map. We started. So when I say we, it's me and my colleague Antje Rademacher.
And what are you? Are you an artist?
I'm an artist. So I studied media art. And my colleague, she studied theater studies. But now she's also working as a curator and as a manager of big art projects. So,
did you have any training or... you obviously have enthusiasm about urban town planning or anything, but are you an architect or something?
No.
Okay.
I'm also trained as a graphic designer. So that's also one of my backgrounds, which is also very important for me.
Okay. So what you did was you created a psychogeographic map of the whole of Leipzig?
Yes. That's how we started. So we used our own expectations of the different quarters, but we also... I mean, you know, there are discussions going on. So, of course, we didn't know, okay, people think this area is like that. So we also included, like, the official reputation of these districts or quarters. And what was interesting was that there was, like, nearly 50% has been white with question marks. We have no idea of what's going on in these areas. And some of these places have been very close to city center. And I know that I pass through these areas, like, once a week. And this was just so interesting that you know so little about your own city. You travel the whole world and you go there and you walk or whatever, but in your own city, how often do you do this? To explore it, to go for expeditions into the unknown of your own city, how often do you do this? So this was like where it came from. And then we wondered, where do these clichés come from? And what do the people who live in these quarters, like in every quarter, what do they think about their own district, about their living area? What is their perspective of it? So do they think, yes, it's right, it's bad, or it's good? Or because, you know, it's never only good or bad. And you have your own experiences, and you have your reasons why you stay in one place and don't move. And in Leipzig, it's still not so difficult to move if you want to, because we are a growing city now, so it changes. But there is still enough place, so if you don't like your area, you can move.
And so that's because, you know, since 1989, there was a big move out of the city towards
yes.
the west, and subsequently you've had quite a lot of vacant properties.
Yes.
You've done a psychogeographic map, you went to visit a district. What happens? What did you do?
What did we do? Yeah, we opened a 1 week, like a temporary shop. And as we have these three spaces, it is possible to move in an empty space or an empty shop. And we had like opening events that invited the inhabitants.
Yeah, sorry. The residents.
Yeah, okay. The residents of these areas, and started a discussion about what they think about their area. So we had, for example, a film afternoon where we did show a TV documentation about, in this case, it was in the east of Leipzig, called Eisenbahnstraße, and they called it the worst and dangerous street in Germany. So we showed this documentation to the residents of mm-hmm. this area, and there have been responses, like videos that have been made by residents that wanted to show the opposite of this documentation. So we showed both of these films to start the discussion. This is just one example how we start to talk to them and to get their ideas.
And how did you win their trust? Because I think residents would be fairly suspicious if a couple of young women artists or whatever arrived and said that we're going to try and explore why your neighborhood is called the way it is.
I mean, you might know that people are very different in different countries and in different cities. And I think we are lucky that in Leipzig people aren't that suspicious at all. This is one reason why it's not too difficult. But on the other hand, of course, before we went there, we tried to connect or to contact people that are involved in this area, like old age pensioners associations.
So you got people involved by holding a day event, but then there was much more to it.
There were two day events. They were like, because the first day is like more discursive, and the second day is more emotional. Like, we opened a sharing cafe where we bake cake, homemade cake, and we share it for stories. And of course, this is a really another story, because it's what I learned from my practice of the last years is that you always have to give something first when you want something. So yeah, this idea was of giving a present. And of course, we also tell our story. So we talk about us first and tell why we did come to this area, what is our expectations or whatever. So it's always kind of a conversation.
Now, you're both from Leipzig yourselves.
Yes. Okay, seriously. I mean, no, we lived there for a long time, but I come from South Germany, from the west. And my colleague, she comes from West Germany, from the north. She comes from Bremen and I come from Stuttgart. But I moved there in 94. So I'm nearly a real Leipziger now.
Okay. And unlike Leipzigans going west, you actually went east.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. I just went the opposite direction.
Okay, so you get people to tell their stories about the places. Then what happens? Is it just that? Or is there more? Do you create some kind of output?
Of course it's more than that. And yeah, so it's like a long process. But the main process is a week, and a very intensive week of communication, of meeting, of seeing places, because they also show us places like, oh, if you go to this area, you haven't been there, if you haven't seen this place, this graffiti, this tree, this whatever, wasteland, or this shop or whatever. So it's a collection, actually. It's more like gathering and collect and just take everything we get without putting it into boxes like yes or no or good or bad. It's just like, we don't do this. And in the end, the outcome, if you want to say so, is a one-day expedition where we invite everyone from Leipzig whoever wants to come. We also had guests from other cities. They have been just around. So, and they get a map. And on this map, we indicate these places and other things, but we also indicate like addresses where you can meet people.
This, I thought, sounded incredible. This is really something. So we need you to explain a bit more about that. So, okay, you've obviously researched the area yourselves, and in doing that, you meet certain people.
Yes.
And you invite them to open their houses or their shops or their workplaces.
Or their lives.
And allow people to come and visit them on this special day. What sort of people are they? Who are offering their places open?
It's just, I think, every person you can imagine, they're so different. We had a refugee from Syria involved. We had a baker who opened a shop where you can bake with him. We had different religious how you say, I mean, you know, like...
Faith, different religions and different faiths opening.
Yeah, like the Baha'i religion, I've never heard of this before, but they had like an open day on that day and they invited everyone to go there and to talk about what it means to be Baha'i and what it means to be Baha'i in this district. Yeah, like you said before, like some people just opened their homes. So you could walk around and just ring a bell and say, hi, I've heard you, I can visit you. And then they opened their home and maybe there was coffee and cake. Or some people asked to, yeah, can someone please help me renovate my living room? And then people
So you weren't taking people on a guided walk. You issued them a map and said, now rediscover your own neighborhood or rediscover this neighborhood as it's seen through the eyes of the residents. And by the way, you can call in on some of these places. Is that how it works?
Yeah, we didn't want to make a guided tour because the basic idea is to give the speech back to those people. So because when I go there and I retell the stories, it's my voice.
Longer their story. I mean, it is their story, but they're not telling it. Yeah.
Exactly. So I can, you know, maybe I change it or maybe I make it my story or I don't know. And it's not about storytelling. Actually, it's more about the experience and about encounters.
And it's very much about encounters on foot as well.
Yes. So the idea is, and this is one reason why we do also mark these remarkable places. Because when you walk to meet these people, and you only walk to see them, then you go from A to B. But of course, we want them to be open-minded and to open their eyes and to stay curious. And maybe they like, oh, wow, this is a place indicated. But why? Can you see this tree? And then maybe they start communicating and then they just, you know, they really see the place and they make their own perception of it, apart from this media response or apart from touristic ideas or whatever. And it's just when you go there, maybe they just don't expect at all finding some things. And that's the best way to find things, is when you don't expect it.
This appeals to any age group. It's not just the OAPs. You get children, you get mums, you get families, you get all ages.
Yeah, on both sides. Like from the guests, but also from those who are, I mean, how can you say, sometimes you call it participants, but it's a wrong term, I think, because it fits for both sides. Mm. It's more like the hosts. Yeah.
It's a bit like Airbnb, but not...
yeah, like a temporary Airbnb. Yeah, that's it.
It's sharing your life story, or not necessarily a life story, but sharing your locale story, the story of your locality. And how many districts have you... Was this just the one, or have you done it in more than one?
Now we do it in the second, and we have a plan for next year to do it in the third. And this could be interesting because now we are in the east and the first one was around Eisenbahnstraße. And what is important is that we see cities as landscapes. So we don't go with the official borders like this district and this is the border, but we also ask the people from their feelings, what do they feel, where is the border of this district? So you can't really say like we go there or that, but now we are kind of in the neighborhood. But then we go to like deeply in the west, where you have this Plattenbauten. I don't know. I know there is an English term for it, but this GDR skyscrapers that are so common, and that's a really different area. And everyone tells us this will be difficult, but we aren't afraid of difficulties.
How do you fund yourselves to do this? I mean, who's contributing to making this happen? Or are you doing it entirely as volunteers?
No. But of course, in the beginning, you know, we had this concept and we didn't know if it will work. So we were really happy that someone said, okay, there's a festival and we want to invite you. There's only a little budget, but would you like to do it? And there was a lot of other kind of support, like finding a free space to move in and all that stuff. But after this first, someone else came and said, wow, that's amazing. We want to invite you to do the next expedition. And this is how it works. So we don't need to apply and we don't want to apply for money, but others do apply. Mm-hmm. So they invite us and then they apply.
And now you've been singled out as a Walk 21 visionary. You might have many others calling you up and inviting you.
That would be amazing, of course. I mean, now we're doing it in Leipzig. But we both have the idea of doing it in other cities as well. And we think that it could be really interesting of being like the outsider, because then you have this, you know, my own preconceptions always have an influence on the project. But when you have no preconceptions at all, that could be also very interesting. And it's always good when you go somewhere and you say, hello, I have no idea of this place. Can you help me? Tell me your story. So that's the basic idea of it.
Now, how long ago did you do the first one? And have you had any, have you found anything that's like a sustained legacy of what you did?
Yeah, we have like a guest book that we use all the time. And for the first expedition, there was already a really amazing note because this was in this dangerous area. And someone said, yes, I've been afraid of going there, but then I was brave enough to come. And now I'm so happy because you managed to get, I lost my fear of going there and I experienced a real amazing day and I met so interesting people and I will come back. I found a new friend on that day. We exchanged telephone numbers and now I will come back. And we think that it will be a long-lasting thing, but it also will take time.
For those people, it's also a kind of reflection, isn't it? Because they're kind of looking over how they reacted and how they discovered their own neighborhood and rediscovered it. And then they're going to kind of recolonize it, aren't they? They're going to use more of that area themselves, maybe. And that takes time.
It takes time, but what is important for us is that we do not want to tell everybody, wow, this is also a very nice place. That's not the point, because we aren't interested in... I mean, this is marketing, and that's not our point. What we want to say is diversity is something that makes a city rich. And it's important to be aware of that, the diversity of all the different districts. You know, this is something that should be, it should keep like that. You shouldn't change every district into the same district to make it more attractive to, I don't know, shop owners or whatever. I mean, that's something that I've heard at this conference all the time. That, yeah, we change the street, now people walk more, and that means they shop more. And I think, oh no, what a shame. Because these kind of streets, you know, you find them in every other city. But there are parts in every city that are so special for that certain city. And I would love the city, like those who are in charge of the city, I would love if they would understand that this is also something that should be protected, kind of, or should be worshipped.
Or maybe allowed to evolve in its own way rather than having...
So
commercialization in place.
Definitely, because what we found out is that there are so many activities going on of people who, you know, they identify with their city and with their quarter and with every quarter, even if it's a bad reputated quarter. I don't know if you have said this, but you know what I mean, huh? Even if it's a bad quarter, they love it. They have a reason to stay there and they use it because there are always opportunities. Especially in this area where you have so many wastelands, which we still have in Leipzig, and so many interesting projects just pop up and they use it. And, you know, it's like they are producing the city. And I mean, it's a compliment for every city when you have your citizens and they create the city with their own energy and own money and whatever. And that's an amazing thing.
When you've done your kind of open day, how do you bring the work that you've done to a close and what kind of legacy are you leaving?
So when we left, we had the idea of, you know, like producing something like an acoustic monument to those people we met. And so I did interviews with them like you do now. And I created a sound walk, an audio walk, which has kind of the same structure. You are getting a map and you walk around and you choose your track and you choose to stay at a place or not. And there is also sound, like music, that you can choose for the ways between two places. And of course it's not the same because I still prefer real encounters, but you still have a chance to have an encounter with people there. And you can borrow this for free. It's a huge map with images and collected stories. And you can get MP3 player and do your walk there. So this could be a recommended walk.
Yes.
Get an MP3 player and visit Eisenbahnstraße. And it was really nice to see that, because this idea came from the people of this district. And I did the audio walk for a festival, like the finishing of it all. And they said, like, but this audio walk has to stay here. And they're really, you know, they were like, okay, I can take it for a week, and we take it for a month, and then we can borrow it there. So they organized themselves to keep this project there, and that's really nice.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Diana Vessa. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.